Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. We have this clipping sent to us from Lafayette, Indiana, from their newspaper there. And it's just so gross. So I'm going to do this first so I could throw this paper out. But this is the personals. And by the way, our phone number, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. Hey, I'm just back from the conference in South Bend, Indiana. We had a wonderful time. Great group of people came out. Just thoroughly enjoyed myself. Met folks for Friday night dinner, Saturday lunch, Saturday night dinner. Got to meet so many people. Had a great, great time. Thank you all for coming out. It was wonderful. And I got to talk about Christianity and public policy. Jesse Lee Peterson was there. Larry Pratt, the president of Gun Owners of America. Larry Bates. We had a very good time. I'll talk more about that in a bit. But first, I want to get rid of this piece of newspaper here. It's gross. This is the personals page from the Lafayette, Indiana Journal and Courier. The Journal and Courier. And in their want ads, like men seeking, women seeking, these ads, they used to say, you know, men seeking women, women seeking men. Now they just leave off just women seeking, and they don't say, because a lot of the ads are FOMOs, female homosexuals. And it just says men seeking, and they don't say women, because a lot of those ads are homos or momos, male homos, and FOMOs, female homos. But at any rate, the listener sent in this clipping because he highlighted all these homosexual ads, which I'm not going to read any of them because they're just gross. But then he also highlighted all the ads where it says, like, I'm ready, female 21, independent, employed, self-sufficient, movie buff, loves malls, seeking bisexual female for soulmate, Leo. Leo? I thought she was looking for a woman. Leo. Oh, wait a minute. The next one says Taurus. Huh. And this ad here says Virgo. Probably ain't going to find any virgins in that group. Oh, wait a minute. These are astrological signs. I see. So these homosexuals in Lafayette, Indiana, they're into their horoscopes. Well, I guess that makes sense, right? So this men seeking Virgo and another Virgo and Gemini and Virgo and Cancer. And this here also circled GWCM. What does that stand for? GW. Oh, wait a minute. There's a legend at the bottom of the page. G. Yuck. All right. We know what G stands for. W is white. I thought you weren't allowed to say that anymore. GWCM. M stands for male. C, A, B, C. Christian, gay, white, Christian, male. Isn't that gross? That is just so gross. I just can't wait for Judgment Day. Like here, this story, Purdue University in Indiana. Purdue University had 8 students who were caught downloading child pornography on the school's computers. And guess what the prosecutor decided to do? The prosecutor, his name is Jerry Bean. The, pr- the prosecutor decided not to file charges. Yeah, how's that? Why not? That's a serious crime. Child pornography? Well, he just decided not to file charges. No real reason necessary. It's just college students having a good time. But and then this at a, also this clipping out of Lafayette, Indiana. A Lafayette man is charged. Now, this is a different story, with four counts of child seduction, accused of showing video images of child pornography to a girl under age 12. His name is Roy Bennett, 36 years old. He was charged Friday, 2 weeks ago, in Tippecanoe Superior Court with four Class D felonies. And he was released from the county jail after posting a $500 bond. $500? Jason Troyer was arrested on Easter. Jason Troyer. He's the guy who does the announcements at our church, at Denver Bible Church. He's 1 minute he's doing the announcements, the next minute he's arrested. Well, not a minute later, but about 2 hours later, he was arrested because he was part of the protest at the abortionist house in Denver. We go to the Planned Parenthood abortionist house, Edward Patrick O'Loughlin. O'Loughlin? O'Loughlin? O'Loughlin. We go to his house, and Jason wasn't carrying a video sign. He was carrying a video camera. And he said to the police were giving a guy from California a hard time because he had a big van with pictures of aborted babies on the van. And Jason said, well, I'm just going to document this in case you ticket him or arrest him. And the police said, no, the ordinance says you got to keep moving. Protesters have to keep moving. And Jason said, I'm not protesting. I'm not carrying a sign. I'm not wearing a sign. I have a video camera. I'm just documenting this for KGOV radio. So at any rate, so much for that. And Jason was arrested, and his bail, I think, was $320. And the real criminal, $500 bail, and these eight students download child pornography, nothing. All right, let's go to the phones, 1-800-836-9278 in Denver, Colorado. Charity, speak your mind. Hello, Charity.
Yes.
Hi.
I was wondering, have you ever lied before?
Yes.
So you're not perfect?
No. What would have given you the... Did you think I was perfect until just recently?
Why do you find it of your power to insult homosexuals and lesbians on the radio?
Okay. Well, now there's a good question. Why do I think it's important to...
No, why do you think you have the right?
Well, the right... Do you want to talk about the right, or should we talk about whether it's appropriate or not? Because even you would agree that people have the right of free speech. So let's not talk about the right, but let's talk about whether it's appropriate to insult or disparage homosexuals. Would that be better, Charity?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Homosexuality is very destructive. And I would like to discourage people from trying out homosexuality, people who are already homosexuals. We've encouraged a number of them to get out of that lifestyle. And so we want to stigmatize homosexual behavior. And so that's why we put it down, so it's not honored or respected.
Okay, well, why do you think it's wrong?
Okay. Well, for a few reasons. One, because it's very destructive.
It's destructive in what way?
In what way? Well, the homosexual lifestyle, I don't know if you're familiar with the statistics, but homosexual men die in their 40s and 50s. Even lesbians die very young as compared to heterosexual women. And there's a reason for that. If you want to hang on, we could talk about it after this 1 minute break. Listener supported radio right here at Bob and Yurt Live. Listener supported radio. Only with your help can Bob and Yurt Live stay on the air in seven cities around the country. New Orleans. It's fun to be on in New Orleans. Rochester, New York, Springfield, Mass, Indianapolis, Denver, Colorado, South Bend, Indiana, Knoxville, Tennessee. It's really enjoyable to have the opportunity to reach out to people and talk about right and wrong, what's right and what's wrong, and to have these discussions. And over the years, 12 years of doing this, we've been able to reach a lot of people, and it's always been with your help. So if you enjoy the show, please give us a call and help out. 800-8-N-Yart, 1-800-836-9278. Charity, certain behaviors are destructive, and so if you love your neighbor, you'll discourage people from doing things that are destructive. Would you agree with that part of it? Like, say, drugs, doing drugs. Does that make sense?
I also think that it's your choice of lifestyle.
Okay, do you agree with this part? If something is destructive, like taking ecstasy or cocaine, crack. That if you love your neighbor and you see your neighbor is doing something that's hurting him or hurting her, then you'll try to discourage them from doing that. Do you agree with that or no?
Yeah, but usually people turn that way because something before.
Okay, well, let's take this step by step. So if your neighbor is doing something destructive, then if you're apathetic, if you don't give a rip, then you'll let your neighbor ruin his life and never even stop him long enough to say, hey, you know, why don't you stop doing that? There's a better way. If you're apathetic and selfish, you don't bother to help your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you're going to try to discourage them from destroying themselves. And by looking at the homosexual community, by looking at biology, by looking at the Bible, at Judaism and Christianity, we see from all these different perspectives that the homosexual lifestyle is destructive.
What gives you faith?
What gives me faith? You want to change?
Yeah.
You want to change the topic?
Yeah.
Okay. Faith. The Bible says that faith comes by evidence. That faith is evidence, the evidence of things not seen. So when I look at the world and at life, at you even, at how incredibly complex a human being is, I realize that there must be a creator who made us. And so when I realize...
What makes you believe Jesus is the one?
Okay, now that's a third question, and we could keep changing the topic. But when I look at all the evidence, I know that there must be a creator. When I read the Bible claims that it is the Word of God, and it challenges us to reason through the evidence it provides to determine whether Jesus is the Messiah, whether he is the Son of God, whether he did rise from the dead. And when we look at the evidence, I have been convinced by the evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. What evidence?
Yeah.
All right. Well, to start with, today's Monday. Do you have a job?
No.
I'm 14. Okay. Do you go to school?
Yeah.
Okay. Today's Monday. Did you go to school yesterday?
No.
Why not?
Because you don't have school on Sunday.
Why not?
Because people need a break.
Why Sunday? Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why the world, for the most part, takes off on Sunday. There's one reason. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week. And that's why...
In America?
Huh?
Only in America and other Christian countries?
No, in most of the world, not everywhere, but I said in most of the world, Sunday is a day off. And when you... Did you write the day today on a piece of paper, on a letter or a piece of schoolwork? And the date is, what is today? April 28th, 2000 and, what, I forget, 2003. Well, what does the, when you write 2003, what does that mean? 2003 years from what? From what?
A.D.? But it doesn't stand for after death. People say after death for short. It actually stands for, like, something like Akalung. It's a long word, but it doesn't stand for after death. People just made it into that.
Well, no one I know made it into after death. It means Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. This is 2003 years after Jesus Christ was born. We have... So in the whole world, for the most part, the whole world, when they date their contracts and their newspapers and their letters and their checks, they put this year, 2003, years since Jesus Christ was born. So there is some evidence in the world that says there was something awfully special about Jesus Christ. The book that tells his story, the Bible, is the number one bestseller of all time. No book ever has come close to being as popular as the Bible. The Bible's been translated into 2,200 languages. And the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, were completed hundreds of years before Christ was born, and they were translated into another language, into Greek, 200 years before Jesus. And the Old Testament has many prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. And when you read the...
A lot of religions have prophecies
Actually, they don't. The Quran, there were no prophecies about the coming of Muhammad. There were none.
Muhammad?
About Muhammad, yeah. There were no prophecies about the coming of Muhammad. He just showed up and started a religion. There was no prophecies about Buddha or Vishnu.
But they don't believe that Muhammad has even come yet.
No, they do, Charity. Your public school is showing. Muhammad came many centuries.
I don't go to a public school.
Where do you go?
A Catholic church.
Okay. Sometimes it's just as bad. Muhammad was a historical figure who lived over 1,000 years ago, and his descendants wrote the Quran based on his oral teachings. He was a prophet, and there were no prophecies that said that there would be a Muhammad. But the Jewish scripture, the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, had hundreds of prophecies, some very explicit about when the Messiah would live, where he would be born, the manner of his life, who his enemies would be, how he would die, when he would die, the year of his death. And those prophecies were written as much as 1,000 years before Jesus was born. They were translated into Greek in Egypt 200 years before Jesus was born. So that today you could read the Hebrew or the Greek prophecies as they existed before Christ. And they said when the Messiah, God the Son, the Eternal One, would be born in Bethlehem, how he would live his life perfect and holy, and how he would be killed, but not for his sins, but for the sins of the world, and how he would be raised from the dead, and that would all happen during the time of the Passover 2,000 years ago. And that I've just described to you a couple minutes worth of evidence that Christ rose from the dead. You go
There's evidence that about Anubis and Osiris and Isis were gods too.
No, there isn't.
That's on the pyramids. They had carvings of helicopters. That's a prophecy in itself. And they made light bulbs out of vinegar. How did they do that?
Charity.
They were intelligent, and the aliens.
Charity. What about the aliens?
The aliens came and helped them build the pyramids.
Charity, where have you learned these last three things you said? Where do you learn these things? At your Catholic school?
Textbooks, and I read about it.
You learn these things out of the textbooks that you get at your Catholic school?
Yeah.
But you didn't learn the overwhelming evidence that fills the world for the resurrection of Jesus Christ? You didn't learn any of that?
I learned it.
Well, I gave you a few examples of the evidence for Christ's resurrection. Could you give me any others?
Of what?
Evidence for Christ's resurrection.
I don't believe in him.
I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you if you could give me any of the evidence that Christians point to for Christ's resurrection.
No, but I can give you evidence that there isn't.
Okay, let's get to that in one moment. So you go to a Roman Catholic school, and you've found evidence that the Greek mythological gods may have been real, and that they had alien help, and they made light bulbs. But in your Catholic school, you've not been given any evidence for Christ's resurrection.
Yes, I have, but I don't believe in it.
I'm not asking you if you believe in it. If they've given you any evidence for Christ's resurrection, could you give us an example?
No.
Maybe because they haven't given you any. See,
yes,
I'm starting.
They have.
What?
Yes, they have.
Can you think of any? Or maybe it's possible you've forgotten.
Like, there's a story of Noah's Ark. Where is it? Where's Noah's Ark? I don't see it, you.
All right, Charity, that wouldn't be evidence for Christ's resurrection. But if you want to change the subject for a fifth time, we could talk about Noah's Ark for a moment.
And then there's Adam and Eve. How did we get different races? I mean, that's racist that they said Cain turned black because he was a sinner. That's racist.
Charity.
So what, all black people are sinners?
Charity, Cain did not turn black because he was a sinner. The Bible doesn't...
That's what they taught me in my school.
You go to a school of people who are very unqualified to teach you anything. The Bible does not say that Cain turned black because he was a sinner.
And then, do you believe in vampires? Because Lilith turned into a vampire.
Who?
Lilith. Adam's first wife.
There's no Lilith in the Bible. Lilith doesn't exist. That's a make-believe story. And Lilith did not turn into a vampire. Charity, this is such a sad conversation because you're young, you're bright, you're going to school, but you have not been given the foundation to discern between what's real and what's make-believe. You have no idea. And whether something's in the Bible or not, you have no idea, but yet it's the bestseller. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-NYART. This is a live commercial break, and just so happens that I'm telling you about an album we have called Genesis the Flood, all about Noah's Ark. Do you know it turns out that in over 100 cultures around the world, they have a story, an ancient story of the world being flooded and all life being wiped out, except for a few who were saved in a boat or an ark. You get this story from the ancient Chinese, the Babylonians, the Egyptians, the Eskimos, the Aztecs, the Navajos, the people from all over the world. Cultures all over the world tell a story of an ancient flood that wiped everything out. Now, how does that happen? How does the whole world end up telling a story of everything being wiped out by a flood and just a few being saved? Well, that's evidence. It's not proof, but it's evidence that perhaps Noah's flood is a true story and that what we read in the Bible is accurate. And then when we look at the statement that Moses wrote in Genesis that even the tops of the mountains were covered in the seawater. Well, that's quite a claim because the mountains are a lot higher than sea level. Yet when scientists have gone to the tops of the greatest mountain ranges, what they have found is fossils of seashells and fish, sea creatures that have been fossilized at the heights of the mountains, so that all the mountains were covered with water. It's just astounding. Really, it's extraordinary that just 5,000 years ago, Moses would write, not even 5,000 years, 3,500 years ago, Moses would write that the mountains were covered by the waters, and scientists today have found sea creatures on top of all the mountains. Isn't that interesting? Well, in our album, Genesis the Flood, we will bring you on a tour of the world and so show you how the surface features of the earth, all the strata, the sedimentary deposits that mark the surface of the earth, were all laid down in a great flood as the Bible describes. Welcome back, Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YART, 1-800-836-9278. So, Charity, I do appreciate you calling in to talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
But, Charity, the flood, you know, during that commercial break that aired only on the internet at kgov.com, I talked about one of the albums we have called Genesis the Flood. And in that album that, you know, we have it on audio tape, people could listen to a long discussion about 10 hours on the flood story in the Bible. And it turns out that about 100 cultures around the world, ancient cultures, they all told the story that the world was flooded and a few people were saved on a boat, and a few animals and a few people. And it's interesting that since the whole world remembers that story, not just the Jews and not just the Christians, but also the Egyptians and the Aztecs and the Eskimos and cultures from all over the world, that's additional evidence that the story may be true. And then when you look at that, the whole world is covered with sedimentary deposits, as would be left over in a flood. And when you look at the fossil beds where you have hundreds of thousands or millions of animals crushed up and their bones all mangled together in great fossil graveyards all over the world, there's overwhelming evidence that the story of the flood in the Bible is true. And some of the world's greatest scientists believe that the flood really happened. And in fact, the Bible says that the ark came to rest in the mountains of Ararat, and then the people descended out of the mountains, and they went south through, you know, in Baghdad, where we've been fighting in Iraq, the Tigris and the Euphrates River, and they went south along those rivers, and Abraham grew, he was born and grew in the city of Ur of the Chaldees, right there at the Euphrates River. And that's where civilization was born, right there, right where the Bible says. And, you know, even if you believe in evolution, which apparently you do, if you don't believe in Adam and Eve.
No, I believe in Osiris, Anubis, Isis. Yeah.
Charity, you know what? You laugh when you say that because in your heart, you know it's foolish.
No, I don't.
Well, you do. That's why you laugh when you say it. When I say that I believe in Jesus Christ, that he created us and he rose from the dead, I don't laugh. And you laugh because you know how foolish it is, and perhaps you're believing in them because you feel it's your way of rebelling against authority.
Are you me? You know what I'm thinking?
No, but I could hear you laugh when you say you believe in Osiris.
How do you know that I was laughing about that?
Well, that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, how do you know I was laughing about that?
Because that's what you were talking about. But,
Do you believe in vampires?
No. Charity, if you're going to be silly, I'm going to hang up on you.
If you saw, like, a person dressed in black on the streets, would you yell at them or call them Satan worshippers?
No.
Would you judge them in your head? Would you think something about them?
Yes.
Like, yes. What?
I would think they're probably part of the goth movement, and they think they're making themselves unique and individual by following 100,000 other people to the T.
Okay, now, do you know that gothic has nothing to do with Satan worshiping?
Yes.
So, they're following...
I didn't mention Satan. You did.
No, you said they're following 100,000 people to the what?
I said to make themselves different and unique, they're doing exactly what 100,000 other people are doing. They're dressing like 100,000 other people, thinking it makes them unique and different. They're copying what others have done before them.
And you're copying what others have done before you.
Right, but I don't think that makes me unique and different. But, Charity, these things are pretty superficial compared to the deeper issues we were talking about. That the overwhelming evidence around the world that a flood happened. You know, there are fossils of sea creatures on the tops of all the mountain ranges. And Moses wrote that the mountain ranges were covered. He wrote that 3,500 years ago, that they were covered with the waters of the sea.
Where did the water go? Did it just disappear? It evaporated, but do you know how long that would take for that much water to evaporate?
That's a very good question. Where did the water go? And the water came from, the Bible says, the great waters of in the depths of the earth. The earth, the surface of the earth cracked. And there was a tremendous amount of water under pressure beneath the earth. That water came up and flooded the earth, and the continent shifted. After everything settled, the water, it took 1 year to subside, and the water seeped back into the depths of the earth, and the oceans came to the levels that they're at right now, and everything settled. But that's a very good question. If you'd like, you could read books by scientists like Dr. Walt Brown and others who will describe to you exactly how those things happened. You know, one of the greatest geologists in the world, he works at one of our governments, Sandia National Laboratories. He wrote a computer program called Terra. And for 10 years, Terra has been the world's leading tool for understanding the crust of the earth and the earth and how the earth functions. And that scientist who created that program believes that Noah's flood really happened. And so did so many of the greatest scientists of all time. They believe that the flood was real because everywhere in the world you go, you find evidence of the flood. Billions of tons of sedimentary rock laid down on the continents all over the world. And so that suggests a huge flood that stirred up the surface of the earth, and then as the waters receded, they deposited everything that they had disturbed. So there's strong evidence why the whole world believed in a flood. And on very scanty evidence, you're putting your faith in Greek mythology and rejecting Jesus Christ and the Word of God. So, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, just that I don't think it's right that you, I mean, you put down homosexuals and stuff, but I had a friend who was gay, and I helped him become bi, and that's close to being straight. But I didn't do it by being mean to him. I did it by being there for him.
Charity, I'd like to put you on hold, and if you want, we'll send you a video that has the evidence for the resurrection in it. And you could look at that evidence, and you could decide for yourself whether it's compelling or if it's insufficient. And then you could make a really informed decision on whether or not Christ rose from the dead. So I'm going to put you on hold, and you have the option, if you'd like, to go ahead and give your name and address to our call screener. And if you do, we'll mail you the Mount Moriah video, the evidence for the resurrection. Now in Indianapolis, Indiana, Joel, speak your mind.
Yeah, I'd like to give a kudos to
Joel. Here's Ed the racist.
Yeah. Okay, I'd like to say that, Bob, and where's your proof that I'm a racist, Bob?
Well, we had shows where you called in and things you said about the Jews, so that's why.
But, I mean,
so I've called you Ed. I've called you Ed. What happened to Ed the racist? You still there, Ed?
Yeah, I'm here.
I've called you Ed the racist ever since that show.
But where's your proof? Specifics.
Ed, I haven't committed to my long-term memory the disparaging things you said about the Jews on that show.
We could.
It's still on the internet. So anyone,
not paying attention, though.
Huh?
Not paying attention. Though.
Could you speak louder?
You're not paying attention.
You're right. I forgot what you said. Whatever brilliant comment you made against the Jews, I've forgotten it.
Okay. Well,
I think I asked
you. So you don't have any proof specifically right now that I'm a racist.
Well, Ed, during that show, I called you a racist, and I asked you repeatedly if. I asked you specific questions about the Jews to try to show that you were not a racist. You refused to answer maybe a dozen times in a row.
So right now you don't have
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah. Answer my question first, Bob. Well, first, I'm a caller, so answer my question first.
Well, you're not in charge, but go ahead.
Well,
what
okay,
question?
Okay, but I'm a guest.
Go ahead. What question?
Answer my question first. You don't have any specific.
Could you speak
right
louder?
Now, wait a second. You don't have any specific proof right now that I'm a
racist. Well, right now, we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, I'll ask you questions about your view on the Jews, and then we'll find out. NYART 1-800-836-9278. And Bob and Yurt Live is listener-supported radio. Now, if that young lady wants that video, Mount Moriah, of course, we'd send it to her for free. Because, we've offered that for many years now. If somebody is an unbeliever, then we will gladly send them Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection, free of charge. If you are a believer, then we don't send it out for free because we'd go bankrupt. And that's partly how we fund this program, Bob and Yurt Live, and are able to reach people with the evidence for Christianity. Now, let's see here. We got this fax from Information Radio Network about one of their listeners who purchased the Mount Moriah video. He lives in Memphis, Tennessee. His name is Eddie. And he wrote a letter to IRN, and he said, "I received the video Mount Moriah. It is the most profound tape I have ever seen." The boost it gave to my faith cannot be overestimated. May God bless you, Ed M. His last name starts with an M, in Memphis, Tennessee. That is so neat. That's encouraging to us, and it should be encouraging to you too, because that's a tool that you can use to reach others. You can share that tool with others, or you can use it to strengthen your own, not only your own faith, by looking at the evidence for the resurrection, because the Bible says faith is evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And since we haven't seen Christ's resurrection with our own eyes, well, how do we have faith in the resurrection? By looking at the evidence. And the world is filled with evidence for Jesus Christ. So you can get this video. It's $24.95 plus shipping and handling by calling us at 1-800-836-9278. If we're not here, you can leave a message. You could even leave a credit card number, expiration date, name and address, and we'll process it and mail that off to you. Or if you get us, of course, we'll be happy to tell you about our other materials. Or you could go to kgov.com and shop online and read about Mount Moriah, see the video cover, and check it out. Okay, Ed, I'm glad that Ed from Indianapolis is upset that I've been calling him a racist. That's a good sign. So he wants to know what evidence I have that he's a racist. And on the show, the particular show, there was a couple shows where we came to the conclusion here that he was a racist. But I referred to him as a racist and asked him probably 10 or 12 questions to that effect. And he seemed to consistently indicate that he was a racist by his answers or lack thereof. So I'll ask him some questions again if he'd like to answer. And I can't make Ed a racist. If he's not a racist, that's great. If he's never been, then I was wrong. If he was and he's no longer, that's great. So let's find out. I want to ask Ed questions about the Jews. And we'll see how he answers. Okay, Ed.
Hello?
You ready?
Yeah, so even in the American Court of Law, you have to prove
evidence. All right, Ed, let me ask you questions about the Jews.
I'm a guest, so I can't ask. Can I ask one question?
No, I put you on hold. All right. Before, I said, yeah, you can ask a question, and you said, what evidence do I have that you're a racist? So I explained how we came to that conclusion. That was your one question. Now it's my turn. Now I want to ask you questions about the Jews, and you could answer. And if for some reason you don't want to, then, you know, we'll come to our own conclusions again about why you don't want to be asked. And if you could answer a handful of straightforward questions, then you could ask your question. All right? Okay, Ed, you ready to answer some questions about the Jews? You ready, Ed?
Go ahead, Bob.
All right. And could you speak up?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, you try 10,000 times to call in, and when you call in, you whisper.
Get on with it.
Hey, Ed, I'm close to hanging up on you.
Hang up then, Bob.
Ed, you've called.
Bob, hang up.
Cursed
Bob,
our,
hang up
at
then.
Our staff
hey, Bob,
workers.
Hang up.
You're vulgar. You're despicable. You're obsessed. So you're going to be polite on the air. Or
Bob, hang up.
Okay. Ed doesn't.
Hang up, Bob.
All right. Ed, do the Jews.
Bob, hang up.
If you're
going to act like that, hang up.
All right. I hung up on obsessed Ed the racist from Indianapolis. So anyway, yeah, the questions I was – and again, that show where – Ed has called into the studios here. When I said 10,000 times, it's thousands of times. Thousands of times obsessed with me, with Bob and Yurt Live. And apparently I don't know, maybe Ed has, I don't know. I guess he's unhappy and unfulfilled in life, and his main purpose in existing is Bob and Yart Live. And so that's, well, there's something to that, I guess. So I would have liked to ask Ed a few questions about the Jews, but I got the definite sense there that he didn't want to be asked. So let's go to our next caller, 1-800-836-9278 in South Bend, Indiana. Dean, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, sir.
I'm enjoying wild mushrooms. I just picked some.
You just picked wild mushrooms. You know, when I lived in Indiana, we used to have dinner at our director's home, Jim and Verl, and we'd go in the woods around their home. They lived by Long Lake, and we'd pick mushrooms, and Verl would make just the greatest mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
But it's you got to know what you're doing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for coming to South Bend.
You're welcome. Boy, do we have a good time.
Hey, I heard one of your callers, and you were talking to him, the Catholic girl?
Yeah. Well, she went to a Catholic school.
A college or a...
No, she's 14 years old, so she's young, and she's obviously not Catholic. She's a pagan, but she went to Catholic school. And she believes in Lilith, the mythical first wife of Adam.
Well, I wanted to throw at you... Notre Dame's not a Catholic school either. I touched that subject this weekend.
Notre Dame, and please keep your voice up, Dean, so we can hear
okay,
you.
Okay, Bob.
Notre Dame is post-Christian. It's pagan, promotes abortion, homosexuality, evolution. Notre Dame is a mess. But what's the latest?
Well, should I send you a copy of this article I read about the vagina monologues?
Well, now that is a despicable feminist play that started in New York, and the old mayor
Giuliani?
Of America.
Giuliani.
Giuliani, his wife, he was divorcing his wife
right.
while in office because his affairs and his affair. And then she ended up playing a role in that despicable play. I think it was an off-Broadway play. And so mm-hmm. they just had it at Notre Dame, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they had it on Ash Wednesday.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, no, the first time they had it there was Valentine's Day. Then the second time they had it was Ash Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And they invited student participation in this program.
Mm-hmm.
And what was really ironic is the vile things this article described. The sick part was the president of Notre Dame, this article said, the vagina monologues was in keeping with Catholic customs.
Mm. Yeah, well, what can you say? Notre Dame has been promoting homosexuality and, you know, paganism for a long, long time now. It's just a tragedy.
Yeah, I know. I know.
All right. Anything else?
No, it was great seeing you. It was great having you in town. And
thank you.
We'd love to have you back soon.
Oh, wow. Well, hey, the event was enjoyable, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Jesse Lee Peterson's a really great guy.
Yeah, he was a highlight for me. He was just fabulous. He's such a good speaker. He connects with the audience. He's so personable. He's a powerful black Christian man. Just tremendous ministry, and people could listen to him on the internet at inforadionet.com.
Yeah, he's definitely a man of God.
Yeah, yeah, I love the guy. Hey, yeah. He invited me on a show soon.
Oh, you definitely got to go. So that would be great.
Yeah, we'll see. Our PR guy, our people will speak to his people.
Uh-huh.
So, all right, Dean, thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless you. I appreciate that. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So, yeah, that... all right, let's see here. What else do we have? You know, the liberals are just... You can tell that they're just... When there's a protest in Iraq... And it looks like it could become violent or out of control. and it's these religious fundamentalists, you can tell that the liberals are just gleeful. They're ecstatic. They can hardly contain their joy about the unrest in Iraq, and they're just hoping beyond hope that America will fail in setting up a democratic government, and that the the fundamentalist Islamic extremists will set up a religious government in Iraq. Now, why would liberals want that? Well, it's because they hate Bush more than they love the Iraqi people. And so they want to see the Iraqi people under a punishing Islamic fundamentalist government so they can say that Bush failed. So interesting to watch. All right, let's see. Yep. We got, no, right? Okay. Here we got, oh, we're almost out of time. 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. So those college students at Purdue download child pornography, no criminal charges. And we got a letter to the editor from the same listener who sent in that those clippings. And his letter is titled by the newspaper editors. It's headlined, Justice System or Just a System. Justice System or Just a System. It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. Now it's just a system. All right. Oh, yeah, and here, now look at this. This photo is still in my studio from these Iraqi Shiite men covered with blood after ritually cutting their heads with swords as they walk around the mosque in Karbala last week. A million Shiites turn out. Now, that's what the pagans did in the time of Elijah. Remember on Mount Carmel? Remember that? All right, let's go to the phones. In Denver, Ken, speak your mind. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Bob, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, wanted to say, the way you do things, I think, is a good thing. I see, you know, I understand, and many other believers understand that the reason why you talk this way about the homosexual community and the abortionists and whoever's flaking out in this world is you want to stimulate a response, and it's not because you hate them.
Well, we want to
you see what they're doing is wrong, and you want to get people like this young caller, the Catholic girl, or the pagan girl, to call in.
Hey, Ken, there's the music. We're out of time. But, yeah, we want to stigmatize homosexuality and let people know that what they're doing is despicable.
Yeah.
Right? We want to re-stigmatize that behavior.
Yeah, good. And you do a good job at it. I don't sense hate from you. I see that what you're doing is good. You're exposing what they're doing as wrong.
Yeah, it's destructive. And today, there is nothing but honor and respect giving to homosexuals, even though it is a perverse and filthy lifestyle. Hey,
you're right. God bless you.
Ken, thank you. Thank you. I wish we had more time, but we are out of time. And, yeah, so when that girl said her friend, he was a homosexual, and she made him into a bisexual, well, you could accomplish that just by fornicating. So that's not really much of an achievement.